Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Again, thanks so much for joining us today. Well, this month for the Sundial Book Club, we've been reading Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. Have you been reading the book? Let us know what you think, by the way. Find us on Facebook, our book club. You can ask to join. It's free for everybody. The story centers on a middle-aged black woman named Janie Crawford. She returns to the town of Eatonville, Florida after a long absence. Now, Janie's a confident woman who has a unique and challenging relationship with men, with her family, and, of course, with the townsfolk. The book is considered a classic, and it's part of numerous high schoolers' curriculums. There is a Zora Neale Hurston Museum in the process of moving right now in Central Florida. Today, we're joined by N.Y. Nathiri, Executive Director of the Association to Preserve the Eatonville Community, Inc., and the General Manager of the annual Zora Neale Hurston Festival of the Arts and Humanities, because they have an annual festival. We're going to learn about that as well. She's joining us from the studios of WMFE in Orlando. N.Y. Nathiri, it's such a pleasure.
Pleasure to be on your air.
You know what? Zora Neale Hurston is this important figure to the city of Eatonville. Look, she's an important figure in the literary world, which we're going to talk about as well. But how did Hurston bring attention to Eatonville through her work?
We say that for Zora Neale Hurston and the Eatonville community, there is a symbiotic relationship. If you look at your hand, you have two sides. And on one side, we say there is Zora Neale Hurston. And on the other side, there is the town of Eatonville because, or as she's called it, her village, her home village, her native village. Zora Neale Hurston was a charismatic, or is a charismatic writer, folklorist, and anthropologist. And what she did in her writing was to really bring to life the primary research that she dedicated her life to in documenting the folkways and the traditions of people of African ancestry in the rural South, in the Caribbean, and elsewhere. And so in her literature, there's a continual reference to the people of Eatonville and the community of Eatonville. In fact, Zora Neale Hurston has made Eatonville popularly known as the oldest incorporated African-American municipality in the United States. And because of the dynamism and her fantastic storytelling, in fact, Eatonville has become and is an internationally recognized literary destination.
For people who haven't been, you know, this is a small town that's just a few miles away from Orlando. How do you describe it to people?
We describe Eatonville as a jewel, a treasure that is representative of unique small town Americana. Some of your listeners may be familiar with the condensed Reader's Digest. Years and years ago, there would be a standing article or component of that publication that featured out-of-the-way or little-known treasures of Americana, places that you might stumble on, and once you had visited, you were just really enamored with the place. Eatonville is that historically significant part of the American saga, maybe little known, but because of Zora Neale Hurston, celebrated because of its history, its heritage, and its culture.
You have an interesting connection to Zora Neale Hurston. Please tell us about it.
Well, in fact, I'm assuming you're referencing my mother, who is, God willing, in April 20th, 101 years old. But she knew Zora Neale Hurston as a child. And in fact, she and her sisters are referenced as the Pretty Johnson Girls in one of Zora Neale Hurston's folklore collections, Mules and Men. And so Zora Neale Hurston was a part of my family lore as I was growing up, because my grandmother would talk about her and about how she was a famous person. In part, my grandmother did that because she wanted to instill in us that just because we came from a little community, it did not mean that we could not accomplish wonderful things.
When did you start reading her work?
Honestly, I started reading Zora Neale Hurston's work after the birth of my first child. So I was 25 or 26. I knew Zora Neale Hurston's folk tales from my grandmother because she would tell them as a part of our, bedtime stories. But I did not read Their Eyes Were Watching God until I think I was probably 26. I read it when it was a Penguin classic that cost 99 cents. The book now retails for, I think it is $14.95.
Right, yeah. I mean, and thinking about, again, the stories you grew up listening to your relatives about Zora Neale Hurston, how did that shape the way you read Their Eyes Were Watching God?
In fact, I was very comfortable in reading it, and I say that because on a consistent basis, we hear teachers and sometimes readers say that they are a little bit uncomfortable initially with the dialect. Zora Neale Hurston writes Their Eyes Were Watching God in a narrative, but she is recognized as a master of the use of dialect as lyrical language. And so for me, there was not a difficulty. And we always say to people, if you read it aloud, don't, in other words, don't trouble yourself with the apostrophes, but if you read it aloud, you will really understand it very easily because it is the language without the D's, the T's, and the E's necessarily, but easily understood because the word, what's being written, translates as it were into comprehensible English.
And of course, the big question too is how accurate she was in depicting life at the time in Eatonville and depicting Eatonville in the story.
In fact, the folklorists, and this is when we talk about folklorists, we mean people who are trained in the gathering of primary material, source material about folkways, about the people's life. Zora Neale Hurston said that she was most interested, and this was her direct quote, in the Negro furthest down. And so she was very meticulous about the collecting that she did. As a matter of fact, she references the fact that she would repeat stories to her listeners again and again to make sure that she was being very accurate. Now, the folklorists acknowledge Zora Neale Hurston as one of the first practitioners of that craft and say, were it not for the primary research material that she gathered, we would not have the authentic traditions, the folkways of the rural Southern African American.
I'm talking with NY Nethiri, Executive Director of the Association to Preserve the Eatonville Community, Inc. We're discussing the life of Zora Neale Hurston and her time in Eatonville, Florida, and of course her classic book, Their Eyes Were Watching God, which is the Sundial Book Club title for the month of March. Every year there's this festival to honor her. Where do people come from to learn about Zora Neale Hurston and her life, and what's that like?
Well, we say that the Zora Festival, and that is the brand that has come from that long name of Zora Neale Hurston Festival of the Arts and Humanities. We say that the Zora Festival actually has three goals, and they have been the same since the first festival presentation in 1990. That is to celebrate the life and work of Zora Neale Hurston, to celebrate the historic significance of her hometown, Eatonville, as a historic African American community, and to celebrate the cultural contributions which people of African ancestry have made to the United States and to world culture. So, yes, the name of this special event is in her honor. But it does not mean that each and every one of the festivals focuses solely on Zora Neale Hurston. Now, for example, this past festival, which was our 30th, it was January 26th through the 3rd of February. We had people literally from all over the world because this was our milestone event. We called it the a global celebration. And in fact, that is what happened. The University of Central Florida here in Orlando hosted the 13th annual biennial conference of the Collegium for African American Research, which is a European-based group of scholars. They came to the university in helping us to celebrate the 30th anniversary, mm-hmm. and the University of Central Florida hosted them specifically because it is our major academic partner here in the Orlando area. Of course, we have relationships with Rollins College and Valencia College in Seminole State, but the University of Central Florida is the longest standing relationship that we've had. Yeah. In addition, the World Conference of Mayors brought delegations here from West Africa, from South America, from the Caribbean, and of course from cities around the United States. And historic Black colleges and universities held a summit hosted by our organization through Spelman College and the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation. So for this milestone event, literally people came from all over the world.
I can't let you go without asking you, of course, because we've been mentioning, I mean, it's the Zora Neale Hurston Museum. And my understanding is you're in the process of moving.
In fact, we have moved the physical address on the 20th of March, and we will be reopening on the 15th of July in a new location. Currently, that location is being restored and renovated. However, the organization, the Association to Preserve the Eatonville Community, and all of our operations, including tours, we are continuing to do our tours in Eatonville because there are several places that we typically bring people. But yes, we are closed to the public until the 15th of July, but you can still get in contact with us by calling 407-647-3307. You can visit our website, preserveeatonville.org, and that's a double E, PREserveeatonville.org. You can also email us at ny@preserveeatonville.org. So we are still, as they say, busy bees, but the museum is closed to the public while we reopen in a location still in Eatonville. A P.O. Box, in case people want to use slow mail, P.O. Box 2057, P.O. Box 2057, Eatonville, Florida, 32751.
And I'll make sure to get all of that online just in case nobody had a pen on all them right. while you were saying all that. Don't worry.
All right.
Again, N.Y. Nethery, Executive Director of the Association to Preserve the Eatonville Community, Inc., and the General Manager of the annual Zora Neale Hurston Festival of the Arts and Humanities. As she said, the museum will reopen again in July. We're going to have all that information up online for you. And again, the book, really one of the beautiful classics, American classics, and it is our March title, Their Eyes Were Watching God, a wonderful read. N.Y. Nethery, such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And remember, you can join our Sundial Book Club on Facebook. Just ask to join. It is time, by the way, just to mention, we have to announce the April title of the book club. For April, we're going to be reading Long Live the Tribe of Fatherless Girls by local author T. Kira Madden. You can learn more about our Facebook group, We're going to be taping an interview with the author soon. So if you have questions for Ms. Madden, you can share them there. We will ask them when we talk to her. All right, still to come, we're going to have a conversation with Uber's chief legal officer about the company's efforts to deal with sexual assault. That's coming up next.